Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I am so honored today because I have Dr. Jasmine Escalera with me. Dr. Jasmine is a certified career coach and founder of Jasmine Escalera Coaching. She recently created and launched the Professional Quitters, a community designed to help women of color learn the art of quitting the careers, jobs, and companies that are not serving them and find the ones that align with their true passions, goals, and purpose. She also hosts her own podcast called Her Next Career Move, which drops weekly episodes containing career advice for women of color professionals. Jasmine is a LinkedIn top voice and has been named one of the top career and job search experts for 3 consecutive years straight. Jasmine is a 10X speaker and the talk Conquering Workplace Conformity as a Woman of Color, detailing her journey as Latina in STEM. Jasmine was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, and recently moved to Miami with her loving but often crazy dog named Cody. Thank you so much for being here today, Dr. Jasmine. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Oh, thank you so much, Carolyn. It is really a pleasure to be here. And it's so great to see you again, even though it's virtual. The first time I met you was in person. So it's nice to see you again.
I know. Isn't it crazy? It's always like vice versa for me. I don't know about you too.
But yeah. It is a little weird. It's a little jarring because we met each other in person and then I got to know you and see you. And it's also really strange because when I meet people virtually first to start with, I'm always wondering how tall they are, but now I know how tall you are.
Oh, the struggle. I know. I could always like, people think, oh, you're so much taller. And then they meet me. They're like, what?
Absolutely.
The struggle, but it's so good to have you here today. And I would love for you to just dive into your journey. It's been such an amazing journey from what I've heard, but I had to share you with everyone else too, because I think it's so amazing what you've been able to accomplish, but the journey getting there as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So I always like to tell people that my journey truly started, as a little girl, being a little girl, little Latina who grew up in the projects of Brooklyn, New York. I grew up with parents who didn't have the same educational opportunities or professional opportunities as I did. My dad did not go to high school. I did not graduate high school. My mom went to college when I was much later in life. Mm-hmm. And I always specify that I grew up in the projects. I grew up with my parents who worked really hard to give me the best possible life that they could and the most opportunities that they could. And in the projects, the community, just the people that I was surrounded by, I just always felt this immense amount of love, and that love and that commitment from my family to really give me that path of possibility is what gave me and built this kind of confidence in myself. But that confidence through college, through graduate school, and then through stepping into the professional world was really broken. And I always say it was broken because I didn't fit in. You know, being a Latina in the field and area of STEM, back when I started, we talk about this a lot with STEM and in tech, that there aren't very many women, especially not women of color. And back then it was even less. So being in that environment really crippled me in many ways, because I wanted to be this, you know, this feisty, this woman who like was this confident little girl, who was this very confident person, but I never could find that stride in that space because I wasn't around people who look like me, who had the same background as me. And I felt like I was always constantly kind of trying to diminish myself. Like I already looked different than everyone else, and I didn't want more opportunities for people to say like, she's not with us. She's different. You know, I didn't want to stand out in the different way. I wanted to try to be similar to everyone else to try to claim the success that I wanted. So there was a lot of assimilation, a lot of conformity in my career in the beginning, in the early stages, that really had a detrimental effect on my mental health, my emotional health, and my spiritual health. And it wasn't until I really took myself through almost kind of like a rebirth in a way, like this reconnection to myself, to my community, to who I was, to how I grew up, this almost reconnection to that confident girl that I was, that I finally started to realize that career success really isn't about trying to be like everyone else or trying to fit into these environments. It's trying to find the right environment where you can truly be who you are and be yourself. And so that career success isn't just about finding the right job, but it's actually about finding the right environment and spaces for us as women of color, people from marginalized communities, to be able to have the level of success we want and truly thrive and be supported so that we can continue to grow and develop. So that's really where my coaching business kind of came from, was this concept and idea of, wait a second, we have to take a pause here. You know, as women of color, we really need to be conscientious of, am I in the right space? Am I in the right environment? Am I on the right path? Am I in the right job? There's so many more questions we need to be asking ourselves and reflecting on. And I didn't know these things because I didn't have the parents who had the same opportunities as me. I didn't have the community who had the same opportunities as me. So I want to really be able to provide the knowledge, the support, the guidance that I didn't have just because of my circumstances to other women of color who don't have that either, because we need to be creating the careers we want. We need to be creating generational wealth. We need to be getting that financial independence. But the key and the way of doing that is to be successful. But how do we be successful? We have to be authentic and true to ourselves.
I'm just like in all of that, because I think it's so important. Everything that you're saying as well, like creating the spaces, creating what we want, creating those opportunities, because the opportunities might not be coming to us, but how do we create that in any capacity, but especially the community that you serve as well, and women of color, people of color, of being able to really dive into that and recognizing that how much you're helping them and bringing light to this. Because I think a lot of times, if you didn't grow up with that, or you didn't see opportunities that are available or how to create those opportunities, but creating those spaces for others as well to really hone into that. And I love that's what you're coaching on. And I would love for you to speak a little bit more about your coaching program, what you have to offer, because I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah, thank you so much. What I'm focusing on right now in my coaching is the aspect and the element of community. So what I was doing when I first started my coaching was one-on-one coaching, working with women one-on-one. And what I started to recognize was, wait a second here, we all have these common problems. We all have these common experiences, but we all think that somehow it was just us or there's something wrong with us. And I remember having gone through very toxic work experiences and almost shutting myself off to the world because I was embarrassed or I didn't know how to navigate it. There were so many different emotions that I was going through, even blaming myself. And so I really want to provide community to women of color who have experienced or even are experiencing environments that are detrimental to themselves. And I want this community to be a space of, first off, validation. It is so freeing to know that you are not the only person who is experiencing this. It can be a level of sadness in a way of like, oh my gosh, like there are other people going through this, but it can be a form of empowerment and truly a form of validation to lean on others who understand your experiences. So what I'm doing right now is I've just created a group coaching program called the Professional Quitters. And the concept and idea of this is we have to quit the spaces, the environments, the jobs, the companies. We have to quit the things that are not serving us anymore and give ourselves the time and the reflection and the space to understand what we need, what we want, what we desire, and have the strategy and the mindset to go out and claim that. So the Professional Quitters is all about really taking that phrase of quitting and recoining it to be something powerful and empowering to women to say that I quit what no longer serves me, and I'm going to take the time to identify what is, and I'm going to gun for it no matter what.
I love the title of it too, because like when I first saw that, when I was just reading through your intro, I was like, oh my gosh, like it stood out to me because there's a lot of going around about like silent quitting or like other factors, but I love how you reframed it of just quitting what isn't serving you anymore. And I think really understanding, creating that community, because there's power in numbers and being able to realize you're not alone and you're creating that. And I think that's why I really wanted to have you on today too, of understanding how when community is really linking arms, grabbing each other, like, yes, we can do this. You're not alone, but being able to navigate it and those navigating those spaces that are not serving you. Because I know I've been in situations where maybe I've had a boss that was toxic towards me in particular, just being a female, but also putting the other layer on there of people of color as well, and how to navigate that. Because I don't think it's talked about enough. I think it needs to be talked about way more. But being able to know, okay, this is where I can go to have that support and learn how to navigate that and not feel so alone, because it can be really lonely. You feel like maybe you did something when it has nothing to do with you. And it's, okay, well, how do I stand up for myself? How do I feel empowered to talk about it, to do this, to move forward in that?
Yeah, I agree with everything that you said. And one thing that really stood out to me, which I think is very true, is we don't talk about this enough. And I also don't think we talk about the impact of it enough. Being in toxic work environments, experiencing things like microaggression, gaslighting, even straight up racism. I've heard some wild stories from women of their experiences in the workplace. This is traumatic. And it induces trauma. And we know that trauma changes the way we perceive ourselves, others, and the world. It changes completely how we move through this space of our lives and even other spaces. It changes how we perceive other individuals. It changes the thought processes around, can I really find an environment that even is going to be accepting of who I am? So it changes you, and it diminishes your confidence. It diminishes what you perceive your value to be. And if we maintain or stay in these environments, not only are we putting a wall up for our career and our career success, but we're also really taking hits to ourselves, our confidence, and our self-worth. So there's that aspect of it that's not talked about enough either, of like the actual impact that it has on people and how detrimental it can be to not just moving forward in your career, but truly to yourself and your self-identity.
That's very true, because people don't realize it's not something that's tangible to see how it emotionally impacts you until maybe it's already hit like burnout or other factors. You're physically getting sick because you're not dealing with it. You're not talking about it. You're not maybe even aware that that's happening, but being able to have that awareness, this is what's going on. It's not okay. How can I take that shift? What do I do? So somebody that is in that situation, how do they navigate that? How do they, once they've realized what they're going through, what are those next steps for them?
Yeah. So I think the first thing to do is to truly get support. And whatever support looks like for you, support can be leaning on your professional community. Support can be leaning on individuals who have experienced it. Support can be leaning on coworkers who are also experiencing it, but not in the form of commiserating, but in the form of like action taking and processing to help you emotionally deal with what you're going through. And also sometimes going the routes of therapy and getting some legit help is what you really need. So that's what I had to do. So the first thing that I did when I recognized, wait a second, I'm in a toxic work environment. I'm in an environment that is holding me back, not just career-wise, but is really holding me back in my mental, emotional, and spiritual health. It was really leaning on support. It was really talking to people about what I was going through. And it was starting the process of going through therapy. That helped me emotionally start to understand what I was going through. And it helped me start to rebuild my self-worth, my confidence, my identity, my sense of value. It really helped me go back into that space where I could then start to say, I deserve more. Because depending on how much this is affecting you, you may even think you actually don't deserve better than this, or that better than this isn't out there. So I had to change my perspective of self, and I had to change my perspective of my career to be able to take the next step, which was action. And action is getting yourself out. And I tell people all the time, I've quit jobs before with nothing else lined up. And I've been an Uber driver to pay my bills. I've gotten myself into some sticky financial situations leaving toxic workplaces.
You don't have to do that. What you can do is start an exit plan. So you have to get strategic around, how do I get out of this environment as quickly as I can, making the best next step and decision for me? Activating your network, starting the process of thinking about the opportunities you want next and really seeking those out is the next step to take. But I always say the best thing to do is to really focus on your emotional, mental, and spiritual health first. Because if you just jump into a job search, what can sometimes end up happening is you're focusing on a job search from a stage of desperation. And that's not an empowering stage to be in when actually doing or when seeking a new opportunity.
That's so well put. And, you know, I think it's that foundational piece is what you're saying of just taking care of the inside first before you start searching. And you don't have to put yourself in sticky situations. We're all very creative in what we need to do in that moment. But I think to speak to your point of really taking care of your emotional and spiritual self and physical as well before you start looking for a job, because it's just going to potentially be a same pattern too, because we might be attracting that same type of environment, not even realize it. Of course, we hope not, but a lot of times if you're not really healing yourself internally, that can really prohibit you from getting into a job that's really going to serve you and what you're looking for.
Absolutely. And that's what happened to me. I was in a toxic work environment for over 5 years. I let desperation take hold of me. And then I ended up in yet another toxic work environment that I had to leave within 5 months, because it was just, I noticed it so fast that I was like, whoa. And I saw red flags when I was going through the interview process, but I really was in that mode of desperation. I wanted out. I wanted to change my environment. I thought just changing the environment would make me feel better, which in essence, it should if you step into the right space. But you're absolutely right that if you don't take that time to self-reflect or to think or to come at it from a space of empowerment, you may end up repeating the same patterns. It's what we do in relationships as well. So this is common.
Yeah, it's very common. And just even to speak to your point too, of you were able to catch the red flags maybe a little bit sooner than before because you had just experienced it. So there's always lessons in there. And I would love to know maybe just like a lesson or two you've learned along this journey of just where you went from corporate to now running your own business. What has that journey been like with just some of the lessons?
The journey has been absolutely the craziest roller coaster ride of my life, but also the biggest blessing of my life, I have to say. I think that one of the blessings that have come out of becoming a business owner and taking these experiences, one of the blessings I would say is healing. I truly feel like in order to support the women that I support in a deeper, richer way, I am always having to heal myself. I'm always having to really dig into what are the areas that I feel like I'm limiting myself? How can I change the way that I believe in me? How can I change the way that I believe in the world? How can I show up differently? How can I build my own confidence one degree more every day? Like, I feel like there's always a sense of healing, a sense of self-growth, a sense of change that I have to go through in order to support all of the women that I really am hoping I can support during my lifetime. So I think that's been the biggest thing is, and the wildest part of this journey is how much you truly have to heal when you are trying to support the healing and the progression and the growth of others. So that's been like I think the craziest part of this journey is how much I've had to tap into that part of myself.
Oh, that's so good. And, you know, it just brought it back to like my experience as well of like being in the mental health field and like healing myself, going through horrible situations all at once and having to heal myself, but also help heal others as well, even in the coaching space. But I think like speak to your point of really that self-development and really pouring into yourself of healing and how hard it can be to navigate while you're healing yourself, digging in further constantly. It's almost like a mirror too, where you're like, oh, I got to work on that one. I don't know if you've experienced that.
Oh gosh, all the time. There have been times when I've said things to clients and I've gotten off the call and I've been like, damn, like, I need to dig in on that. You know, like I can't, I like to live my life in integrity and I cannot I can't do that, right? If I'm not taking my own words to heart. So whenever I say something to a client, whenever I express something to them as advice for them, I hear it from myself too, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it speaks volumes sometimes, and you like hear it loud and clear and you're like, oh, okay. All right. I don't really want to tap into that, but I know I need to. It's like, sometimes I have resistance. I don't know if you experience that, but even speaking of just like the words that we say to ourselves and then also are saying to our clients, I know your LinkedIn top voice. Can you talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It tears me up every time I really think about it, because being a LinkedIn top voice was something that was really special to me, because I remember becoming a coach and becoming a career coach. And everyone that I chatted with was like, why are you not on LinkedIn? Like, you're a career coach, you're working with women trying to build their career. And I would not use the platform. Like, I refused to use it. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because I was so traumatized in the professional work environment that I really did not want to go into another professional environment. Like, LinkedIn is the professional space to do, you know, social media, basically the same thing, but professionally. And I felt really triggered going into that environment. And so I started out by just really becoming a LinkedIn stalker. Like, I started to, you know, follow a bunch of people just to see, like, what are people posting here? And I started to notice that people were getting really vulnerable and telling really vulnerable stories about themselves, about their journeys in their careers and their businesses. And I started to see it as this space of like, oh, okay, so I get to define what this professional space is, because it's my space, right? Like, it's my professional space to show up in. So it was a really awesome opportunity for me to even do a deeper level of healing around the term professional, and to really be able to recoin it in the way that I wanted to. So, you know, showing up on LinkedIn for me is telling stories about my journey, being open about what I've experienced, and not caring what anyone has to say or think about it. So I started that journey on LinkedIn in that way. And, it was amazing to be able to get that validation that you can be you in this space termed professional and still be able to be successful. Like, that's all I ever wanted, right? Like, in my career, all I ever wanted was to show up and get the level of success that I felt I deserved for everything that I was putting in, all of the work, everything. So to be able to do it and to be myself and to tell my stories was like the biggest moment of validation for me. Like, I can do this. So it was, you know, a beautiful moment. I was actually on the beach in Grenada when I received the email on January 1st or January 2nd of last year. And it was amazing. And I always tell people that story of like, I resisted so much going into that platform. I resisted so much going into that space because of my own traumas and what I experienced. And it has shown me nothing but love and nothing but validation that you really can be who you want to be and still be termed professional.
Mm. I love this, because I think too, it's just the journey of how you were able to really reframe it, recoin it, as you say as well, of just the resistance to even going into it because of how triggering it could have been and was because of your experiences. But you pushed through that and it came out top voice as well, but also being able to see the differences of different people, putting yourself out there, giving a little bit of just, okay, I'm going to do a little bit. I'm going to follow a few people. I'm going to just navigate this site for a little bit before even doing anything, to just kind of get a little foundation. And as you did that, seeing all of the individuals that were being vulnerable, being professional, you can be both, and being able to do it on a professional platform, and it thrived for you. You thrived as well, and being able to just get noticed in that regard, because you do have a very powerful voice, and being able to help others too, because other people can see that and have that permission to do it as well, because it gave you permission in a way. And now it's just that ripple effect. And I know outside of everything else you've done, I know you've been on a TED Talk. Could you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, I did. I did a TEDx talk, and it was during the pandemic. So it was virtual, which was a cool experience, you know, to do, but I really want to stand on the red dot one day. So that's my, that's what I really want to do. So I need to redo that one day on the red dot. But yeah, it was a great, experience. And one of the things that I really champion for all of my clients, and this is something that I was not good at in my career, because of, again, fear, is networking. So networking is something that I believe as women of color, we don't do enough. And it makes sense in many ways, right? It's hard to put ourselves out there when we don't see enough of ourselves represented in these spaces. If you are a person who has experienced microaggressions or gaslighting from certain communities or certain individuals, you're less likely to reach out to those people because it can be very triggering. We have a lot of fears and concerns about how we show up, right? And so networking is something that we shy away from a lot. And it's something that I did as well. But the TEDx opportunity came exactly from that. It came from networking. It came from really showing up, meeting people, and putting myself out there. And so in all of my coaching and in my programs and in the Professional Quitters, it's really about how do we take this concept, reframe it, redefine it so that we can do it our way and utilize it for what it's meant to be, not just to find opportunities, but to truly learn how to grow our careers. So that's how the TEDx talk came to be, was through networking. And it was an amazing opportunity to do, especially during the pandemic where like we were all sitting around doing not much of anything. But yeah, it was a cool opportunity.
A very cool opportunity. And I love that you said too, it's create, again, putting a face out there that allows other people to see that it is possible for them, and being able to do the TED Talk as well, even if you will get on the red dot, I know you will. manifesting it for you. Manifestation, you know, but
I love it. I'm manifesting it for sure.
I believe you. I know we've had conversations about that, but being able to really put it out there and see that networking, how that can lead to so many opportunities. I mean, that's how it's led for me, but I think for you in particular, and showing that there is another way, but there's been some triggers around that for a lot of individuals in your community in particular, of being able to help navigate that as well, because I think it's important, because there's room for everybody, I believe. And that's something I'm very firm about, but it's being able to find those spaces and creating those spaces yourself if you can't find them. And that's what I think you're able to like encompass.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe that too. And I truly hold on to that. Like sometimes people think I'm overly positive, and I just choose to see the goodness. I choose to believe that there's better. You know, I don't want to believe that the places and you know, opportunities don't exist for us. I want to believe that if we know what they are, we can empower ourselves to go and find them.
Yes. And I want that just as much as you do for everyone that I know personally that has struggled, but also being able to know that there is a community, and I wanted to see it grow so much. But with all of that being said, I know the community of your podcast. Could you share a little bit about your podcast, what you're up to there as well?
Oh man, that podcast. you know, I wanted to start a podcast for a long time. And again, fear, right? Like whenever I'm not doing something, I always ask myself, what are you really scared of here? Because that's always the drive, you know, the driver or the stop point is fear. So I really wanted to start a podcast for so long. And I kept running through my head and saying like, who's going to listen to this? Like, who's going to listen to me chit chat, you know, on a podcast? Like, really, come on, my mom. So it was a long time coming, but Her Next Career Move is the name of the podcast. And it's been such a blast to do it because I've been having the opportunity to connect with other women of color coaches in different areas of expertise and ask them some really deep questions around why they, it's very similar to what you're doing, why they started their business, but also what, you know, how did they navigate and move through their career and how do they help their clients do that too? Just to be able to get different perspectives. I 110% feel that, you know, we need to be providing different perspectives because everyone is different and everyone's situation is different. So the podcast is really meant to provide my perspective on career and career development, which always seems to take more of a mindful, energetic approach rather than always so strategic. And also to bring in other voices, other women of color coaches and other voices to be able to provide different ways to see sometimes even the same topic, because I want it to be able to resonate with, you know, whoever comes on and listens to it.
Mm. Yes. No, I've listened to a couple of your episodes and I love what you're up to. And I think it's so important. Again, it's creating the spaces, and I'll probably say it a million more times because I just think it's so important that everyone knows that there's a space for them. It's just how you navigate that. And with your clients, I would love to know maybe just one or two client success stories. I know you have a lot, but if you could just share one or two.
You know, I think that, I do have a lot, thankfully, but I do think that the one that stands out the most for me is a very similar story to my journey. Cecilia Hernandez is a client that I started working with. She was one of my very first clients as a career coach. And when she started working with me, she had a side business. She was doing some financial consulting and financial work for businesses and for individuals. And she was working, you know, 14-hour days. She was burnt out. She had felt such a lack of confidence being in a toxic workplace, and she needed to get out. And the first thing I recognized with Cecilia was we had to work on her mindset. We had to get her confidence up. We had to get her feeling better about herself. She was a Latina, very similar story as mine, didn't have parents who had the same opportunity. So she was really navigating her career completely alone. And we did all of the confidence work. We really got her to a point where she was like, I deserve more. And within a week of starting her job search, she landed a six-figure salary job, her first six-figure salary job. She started it, she worked it. And then all of a sudden she came back to me and was like, you know what? I want to actually follow my passions and I want to follow my purpose. And so working together, not only did we get her out of that toxic work environment and into a better situation for herself and for her family, having the income that she could take her whole family and move them into a new apartment, but we also have been working on for the last few months. She quit her whole career working with me, which I was like, am I really helping someone like do this? And now she's working on developing her business called Actualize, which is a business to support financial independence for people of color, for first gen communities, to really be able to get our people from where they are to thriving in terms of their finances and on the path to creating generational wealth. So it's been such an amazing journey with her because I saw her from getting out of a toxic work environment, getting into a really successful and good job, great company. She was set. But what that was able to help her do was to think about, where's the more? And is this really what I want? Because sometimes what we don't recognize is when we're in toxic work environments, we're truly in survival mode. And when you're in survival mode, you don't have the capacity to think about what else do I want? How can I get more? What other opportunities are there? So taking her out of that space and environment actually was able to give her the safety to think about and to explore, is this really what I want to do? So I'm so proud of her because it was that transition that got her to the moment of, you know what, I'm going to quit my whole career and I'm really going to build this business. And so I always say, like, she's a very special person to me. She's a special client to me. She's a special human to me. And her journey and her story just really empowers me to keep going.
Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful just to hear the journey that like you were on, but also being able to relate to your client and the way she was able to navigate that. And you're right, it's that mindset factor. But when you're in survival mode, it is so difficult to think of, okay, well, how can I get creative or how can I continue on? You can't. Like, I've been there twice in the last few years.
I've been there. Yeah. I've been there in my career. I've been there in my business, you know, like, so it's very challenging. And that's another impact of being in a toxic work environment is you're stalling your career because you're not moving. They're not giving you the opportunities to move, but you're stalling your career because you can't think.
No, it's like, how am I going to survive just like getting food in me right now?
Yeah, how am I going to survive this crazy boss? How am I going to survive like the experiences every day that I'm experiencing? How am I going to survive like being in this environment? So it's, you know, another way that it really affects you and why we have to think about transitioning out of those spaces.
Oh, 100%, because you're not going to survive if you don't. There's going to be something that's going to happen, and hopefully it doesn't get to that point. But I think that's where recognizing if it is a toxic work environment that you need to shift things immediately, whether that's starting to take care of yourself and going, getting professional help, finding a professional community, finding something that's going to support you, like you mentioned earlier, of being able to take that first initial step. Because that's huge when you can just take that one step and everything else will eventually fall into place when you're working towards it. But if you do nothing, nothing will change. And I think it's important to recognize that. But with all of that being said, what are maybe one or two tips that you could give us for entrepreneurs on this crazy roller coaster journey?
Yeah. So I would say that there are two things I would say that I learned maybe essentially the hard way. But the first thing is I didn't really realize, and maybe you can speak to this too, I didn't realize how much mindfulness and how much mindset was gonna play into building a business. I've helped companies build small businesses. I've helped companies build large projects. I thought I was going to go into this and be like, okay, so I want to build a business. I want to create a business. Here's my concept. Here's my idea. Here's my marketing plan. I just got to go for it, right? But when you essentially are the product that you are trying to sell, so much shit happens.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. You know, every single from the age of two doubt that you've had about yourself, or about showing up, or about presenting yourself, whatever it is, it all freaking comes up. So I didn't know that mindset was going to be such a pivotal piece of this journey. And so what I will say to people is, you got to focus on the triggers when they happen. You have to focus on your mind. You have to have rituals that allow you to really connect to what's going on here. When we do or don't do something, it's connected to a belief, a thought, something that's running in your head. And if you don't know what's running in your head, then you're not truly running your business. And so I really urge for people to do and connect to that work, because in my mind, I believe that's where success versus failure really is. If you will be successful, if you're constantly tapping into it. And that's the number one thing that no one told me that was that I was going to be triggered and I was going to have to face a lot of things that probably I would never have faced had I stayed in my career, because I had comfort, I had stability, I had a consistent paycheck. When you take all of that away, shit really goes down. So it's a different experience. And then I think the second thing is, you know, I was a perfectionist, and I thought I had to have the logo, the website, everything had to be perfect before I showed myself to the world. And before I even told people that I was even considering doing coaching. And so what I would say is there's no such thing as perfection, and people truly just want to know who you are. So it's really funny because no one's ever even asked me if I am certified as a coach. Like, no one's ever asked me. People don't even know what my PhD is actually in. They want to know if I understand them. They want to know if I've had the same journey as they've had. They want to know that I'm going to be able to validate them because I've been through it. They want to know that I'm going to be present and available for them. They want to know that I work on myself. Like, there are certain things that people want to know that don't have anything to do with logos, credentials, not, you know, expertise, all this stuff. It's really just about you.
Just those two things are so important. What you don't learn what or know about before you start a business, the mindset, being mindful of everything that's going on. And I know I didn't think of that either. I thought, okay, I just need to have my website up. I need to hire a coach. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to do all these things versus like showing up as me. And I think that was a hard transition for me from going from mental health to coaching. But I think being able to have that mindset, being empowered of this is me. And taking that and doing that and how hard it can be, the triggers, everything that you go through day to day. And that isn't talked about. It's like, yeah, it's going to be hard, but why is it hard? Well, because of these beliefs we have, what we're telling ourselves, all those factors. And I think you just put it so beautifully. And then even with the second tip, being a recovering perfectionist myself, understanding that it doesn't have to be perfect and recognizing too, it's just taking each step and you're going to hit bumps. You're going to have to make a hard turn and understanding that's just part of the process. And that doesn't, it just makes you human at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Just get out there and do it.
Yes. Simple as that.
All the time. Well, here's the thing, you know, what we sometimes try to do is diminish fear, or, you know, we try to wait until we're not scared, or we try to wait until we're ready. And for me, what I've learned is like, the fear is never going to go away completely, right? It may transform into another one. You're scared of something else, right? You truly have to get to a point where your belief in self and success is just higher than the fear, and you just go for it. And so I always tell my clients, like, you've got to get yourself to a point where you can just go for it. And how do you get yourself to a point where you can just go for it? Your belief in self and your belief in what you're gunning for, your belief in your purpose, your belief in your why just has to be a smidge higher than the fear itself.
That's so true, because the fear will hold you back if you allow it to. But if you just get started, you just do it, put forth the effort, things will come. It's not going to be easy. I don't know whoever told you it's going to be easy. I don't know, but it's never going to be, but it's pushing through it and knowing what, like exactly what you said, the why. It has to be strong. You have to know what it is, or else it will crumble if you don't have that strong foundation of what you're wanting to do and understanding that, because that's going to wake you up in the morning. That's going to push through the belief system and everything else that's going on. But I know we could talk about this for hours, Jasmine, but where can people find you, use your services? We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Yeah. So I live on the LinkedIn streets. So if you want to hit me up on LinkedIn, follow me, DM me. I also am on Instagram as well. So on LinkedIn, it's Jasmine Escalera PhD. On Instagram, it's at Jasmine Escalera Coaching. So hit me up on either one of those forums, and I'd be happy to talk to you about the Professional Quitters, which is the program that I'm currently enrolling for women of color job seekers to have a community, a support system, and know all the strategies to land the job at the company that they deserve to be in.
Oh, amazing. Well, thank you so much, Jasmine, for coming on, sharing your beautiful heart and soul with us today. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below what was the biggest takeaway from Dr. Jasmine today, and we will see you on the next episode.